Very good evening to everyone. Very good evening to everyone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Pastor Chris, for the privilege of standing here with fear and trembling as I stand before you to share the word of God. And as I'm preparing myself for this time, I've been asking the Lord, and it was a bit of struggle, but God laid upon my heart for this topic. And Pastor Chris also shared with me what he personally wants me to share. And in line with that, I would like to share about something that is so important in our life, in our Christian's journey today. It is about reclaiming our heritage. And before that, I would like to share about my family. I'm really thankful to God for the wonderful family that God has given to me. My personal family as well as my in-laws side. And every year when we go back and when we have family reunion, we will have this time of gathering together. Of course, we have a good big makan, right? Then we will have time of fellowship, praying for one another, encouraging one another. And of course, they will always give me the privilege to share the word of God. And one of the things and one of the moments that I always waiting for is the prayer time, where my father and my father's in-law, will pray for us. And as you can see the picture in the slides, that this is the very recent time that we get together after 2 years, and we get together, and my father prayed for us children, the great-grandchildren and great-great-children. And I really feel blessed. And another picture you can see, this is my own father, and the other picture is picture of my father-in-law. Next slide. My father-in-law praying for every individual in the family. There were about 30, sometimes 40 of us. And my father-in-law will take time to pray for everyone. And I'm so blessed because when my father-in-law pray for us, individually you can see praying for me and Linda, my wife, and my children, and so many pictures, but I just choose this three. I could really sense a blessing that my father and my father-in-law is inheriting something to us. And when I was seated down there, and when I watched my father-in-law praying, and I said to myself, one day, I wish I'll be like that. I'll be praying for my own children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. Wow, it was very powerful. And every year we do this. Praise the Lord. And before I go into the sermons that I'm going to share today, I also like to share about the situations that we as Malaysians Christians are facing. For we all know that most of the Christian population in Malaysia come from East Malaysia. We all know that. This is something that I used to be so proud about, our heritage, our Christian heritage. Being the firstborn in the country. But what happens that it seems that we have lost something. We have lost something so, so important. Since most of us are the third Christian generation. I'm a third Christian generation in my family. I remember my father used to tell me, and my parents used to tell me, that on Sunday, you can't do anything. And I'm growing up listening to this teaching, that every Sunday, you must be in church. We are not allowed to go to play, and we're not allowed to go
to the river to catch fish or even to pluck fruits from the tree. We are not allowed. And as far as I remember, I never miss my son there. Even I have to travel, I said, I must attend church first. That's why maybe God chose me to be a pastor. I think it's not because of that. Because I grew up, when I'm not in church on Sunday, I feel something is so missing. Do we still have this kind of heritage that our father and our forefathers has passed to us? Sunday is a Sabbath. As I said earlier, that I used to be so proud of my heritage, being Christian, and Christian population in Malaysia mostly come from East Malaysia. But to be honest with you, I don't take pride in that statistic anymore. You know why? Because Christian from East Malaysians has become more and more religious. Where the spirit of religiosity has invented and has destroyed the true meaning of Christianity. The fear of the Lord being the most important element in Christianity has eroded. Perhaps missing in Christian homes today. For instance, the drinking culture. The drinking culture has become norm. For those of you who've been to East Malaysia, you know what I'm talking about. Every major festival, such as Easter celebrations, the Harvest Festival, Gawai Kematan Festival, even Christmas, many people will end up in drinking party. People just waiting for something to celebrate. Even during Christian weddings or even funeral. Sadly, many Christian pastors, even leaders, coming back from wedding parties and even funeral, drunkard. I hear from my friends where I hear many stories of Christian leaders, pastors, priests, got drunk when they were back on their way back from funeral or even wedding celebrations. I have a very close Iban friend. He's one of the most successful Iban I know. And he told me that, he said, I don't want to go back to my... I try as much as I can because whenever I go back, I'll be forced to drink. Those days, yes, I love to do that. But now he said, no. Then when I go back, he said, when I don't drink, when I turn down the offer to drink, and my friend and his friends and his family will tell him, if you don't drink, you're not Iban. So they associate drinking culture to their traditions. What is scary is when Christians are living their faith. And that's why we need you to pray for us. We need you to pray for us. We may be big in number, but we may be least in our faith. And thank you so much for missionaries, churches. I know DMC is doing so much in Sabah and Sarawak, sending missionaries and mission trips. I know. Thank you so much. Keep doing that. We need encouragement. Christian living their faith is so worrying. I still remember those days when someone in the kampong leave their faith because of marriage, mostly because of marriage to the cousin. And the whole kampung, I still remember, the whole kampung mourned and grieved over the lost soul. But today, it is not a big deal anymore. It has become a culture. It becomes a common thing to us today. In almost every family in a kampung, at least one or two have left their faith. Isn't it scary? It's so scary. And I really thank God. I checked with my wife again and again. I said, is there any of our family member from your side has left the faith because of marriage and for whatever reason? And she just confirmed to me that none. And I really thank God. And I can stand before you and before God. Even for my family, thank God, none of even my siblings and my nieces or my nephews has left their faith. Right? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I used to be so proud of the Christianity that we have, that we inherited. We have experienced revival. There are people who have seen fires, balls of fires, signs and wonders, and hundreds and thousands of people have witnessed that. But what happened to this generation today? Today's generation have lost this heritage. We lost the fear of the Lord. That's why this is my message today. Let's look at Isaiah 33, verse 5 to 6. The Bible says that the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Wow. Today's sermon is about inviting you to reclaim what we have lost. If the fear of the Lord is not restored in today's generation, we will miss something so great. We will miss the great treasure. We will miss the heritage that God has in store for us and the generation to come. And the Bible says, according to our reading today, the fear of the Lord is the treasure. How? As I was reflecting on this, and God brought me to Adam and Eve. Why Adam and Eve fall to the temptation? As I reflect on this, actually, Adam and Eve lost the fear of the Lord, and therefore, they disobey the commandments. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the serpent said, did God really say? Did God really say that you will die when you eat this fruit? Because they lost the fear of the Lord, therefore, they took the fruit. Just a little bit of the context of Isaiah 33, verse 5 to 6. In the days of Isaiah, 700 BC, Assyria has taken Israel into captivity and was marching towards Judah. Indeed, Judah was facing perilous times. To whom would they return for help? For security, for deliverance. And here, Isaiah was sent to warn them not to fear men, but to fear God. Isaiah was reminding them to come back and to reclaim their rich heritage in the Lord. Hallelujah. If you look at this example from the Bible, Noah feared God. And God used him to judge the world with great flood. Abraham feared God. God blessed him and made him the father of all nations. Moses feared God. God used him to deliver the law to the people. David and Solomon feared God. God used them to write Psalms and Proverbs. Apostle Paul feared God. And God used him to write epistles. Martin Luther feared God. And God used him to bring reformations to the Christian faith. John Wesley feared God. And God used him to start a holiness movement, a movement called Methodism. What does Isaiah 33, verse 5 to 6 says about our rich heritage? What is the key to this treasure? If you look at the verse just now, in verse 6 it says, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. But before that, let's look at our treasure. What is our treasure? According to Isaiah 33, there are three treasure. Number one is the sure foundation for your times. Our treasure is a sure foundation for your times. What does it mean? Let's look at Proverbs 14, 26, 27. It says, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. For his children, it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Wow. Very straightforward. Psalms 34, verse 7 to 9 and 9. The angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Fear the Lord, your saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. We are in difficult times, right? We all are facing difficult times. We are all in difficult times. But what is our treasure? The Bible says, sure foundation. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, 25, I will not read into that. It's about those who hear the word of God. It's like a man who built a house on a solid rock. When storm comes, when rain comes, just like yesterday, I was on my way to buy shoe for my son. And the moment I came out from the house, it was heavy rain. And my car was hit by a small trunks. And I couldn't really see the road because of the rain. It was so heavy rain. Then I told my wife and my children, I said, no, we shouldn't go. We turn back. That has reminded me about what it was so dangerous. I was a bit worry. And I pull over and then I make a U-turn and came back. We are in difficult times. We don't talk about COVID, right? We are in difficult times. Number two, our treasure, number two, is a rich store of salvation. Proverbs 3 verse 7 says, fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your bodies and nourishment to your bones. Psalms 85:9 says, surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Hallelujah. Our treasure is a store of salvation. And number three, our treasure is wisdom and knowledge. We all need wisdom and knowledge. Amen? Spiritual wisdom. Fear of the Lord will lead us to wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 1, 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalms 111, 10 and 112, 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. Blessed is he who fears the Lord and finds delight in his commands. In this simple text, Isaiah chapter 33, verses 5 to 6, clearly tell us that there are three treasure that God has given to all of us who believe in him. Number one is sure foundation for your times. Secondly, store a rich store of salvation. And third, wisdom and knowledge. But let's go a little bit further of what fear the Lord is all about. Today we focus very little on the fear of the Lord. But instead we focus too much on the treasure. We focus too much on the blessing, on the wisdom, knowledge, health, salvation. But we forgot the most important things. The Bible says the key to this treasure. And the Bible says the key to this treasure is the fear of the Lord. So what the fear of the Lord really is? We often say that the fear of the Lord is to honor God. It is to revere God. It is to worship God. But if we do not know God, then we cannot fear and love God. To know the true God will always lead us to fear God, and only then we can really love God. But what exactly is that we fear God? What exactly is it that we fear God? The fear of the Lord, in a simple terms understanding, is have a dread of sin or fear of offending God. What we fear is the punishment for our sin, the eternal separation from God. Do we fear God's wrath? Do we fear the eternal separation from God? Proverbs 8 verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But the question is, do we really hate sin? Another question, a good question to ask is this. When and how do we lose the fear of the Lord? It is when we start to regard sin lightly. When we have drifted away from the law that we have heard. When we have lost interest in the book of the law. When we begin to take for granted the grace of God. When we take for granted the love of God and forgetting that God is also a God of just. God is God of love. In the same time, God is God of just. When you run to Him, He is there for you. He will accept you as who you are. But in the same time, when you sin, He's a just God. He judges us according to His standard of righteousness. The problem of man was and always will be grounded in sin. Disobedience to God's commandment. Church is the best place to deal with the issue of sin. The world out there cannot handle the issue of sin. Amen? Because God has given us the power. Therefore, pulpit, church should be the place where we handle the issue of sin. Sometimes it's not, we don't like to hear about sin. Because the church, the Bible, and we as Christian can handle sin because of the grace of God in us. So God's plan to save mankind could be one of only two choices. Number one, to lower the standard of righteousness. Number two, to raise man up to the standard of righteousness. Which of these choices is better one? Which of these choices is consistent with the righteous and just God? Can a holy God, can a righteous God lower down His righteousness, His standard of righteousness? Could God lower the standard of righteousness? If to lower the standard of righteousness is necessary for man to be reconciled to God, then God would have to tolerate with sin. Can a holy God tolerate with sin? No. But if yes, then righteousness becomes a relative term. How much sin would God allow in man? If God could lower the standard a little, why not a little more, and a little more, and a little more? The standard of righteousness, which is the law, must remain unchanged, and man must be raised to his standard of righteousness, which is absolute obedience to the law, in order to reconcile, to be reconciled with God. Christ's blood has made us righteous, and therefore, it is God's way to raise us up to his standard of righteousness. Let me explain this a little bit further. The righteousness of God is here. And when men fall, the Bible says, Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then when God created man, man was with righteousness. Man was holy. That's why the Bible says God created man and woman in his own image, in his righteousness. But what happens after the fall? Men fall short of the glory of God. Then this is the glory of God. This is the standard of his righteousness. And man has fallen. I don't know how far and how deep we have fallen. Because of the love of Christ, because of his love towards mankind, therefore, he sent his begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And therefore, it is the cross that raises up to the standard of righteousness. And you can see, this is God's standard of righteousness. And Christ has raised us to his standard of righteousness. And therefore, reconciliation took place. God, a holy God, cannot lower his standard of righteousness. Therefore, it is he himself who brings us up to the standard of righteousness. And it is the same standard of righteousness, which is obeying the law, that causes us to fear God. And it is the very same source of power that we need to obey the law. The fear of the Lord is the power. I can use the word the key to raise us up to the standard of righteousness. Because Christ has died already. He has given us the way to go up, the way to raise us up to the standard of righteousness. And what do we do today? It is the fear of the Lord that will bring us up to the standard of the righteousness of God. Because it is the fear of the Lord, it's the power and grace to overcome sin. History tells us that it is the fear of the Lord and not the love of God which lead us to the great treasure. Let me repeat that. History tells us that it is the fear of the Lord, not the love of the Lord, which lead us to the great treasure. Listen carefully. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul and strength is the greatest commandment. We all know that. But the fear of the Lord is the power to keep this commandment. Amen? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13, it says, fear God and obey him. It is not obey him first. Because you need the fear of the Lord to be able to obey. That is the problem with Adam. That's why they cannot obey the law. Because they lost the fear of the Lord. And we need to come back to this. In conclusion, before I conclude, I would like to share this, and it's a very, very interesting story about a very popular comedian, Chris Tucker. We all know him, right?
is one of my favorite. He acted, he starred together with Jackie Chan. I've watched this movie many times. I laugh and laugh and laugh. This guy speaks very, very fast. And he has very funny sound voice. Early this year, in January 2nd, came out a news. And he turned down 10 million offer to honor God. Wow. 10 million. It's not a small deal, right? Just because he says he doesn't want to curse and smoke weed on camera anymore. He wants to honor God. It's a classical example of someone who have the fear of God. When you have the fear of God, the blessing comes. When you have the fear of the Lord, that is the key to the treasure of God. Amen. In conclusion, I would like to conclude with these 4 points. Number one, Psalms 147:11 says, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy." What happened to those who fear God? They will find favor with God. Amen. God takes pleasure in them. Wow. I can imagine myself, God is enjoying me because of simple thing that I do, because I fear God. Do we have the fear of God in our homes today? Do we have the fear of God in our life today? Do we have the fear of God in your office, in your community today, or in your personal life? Secondly, Psalms 33:8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." I believe when we have the fear of the Lord, then our worship becomes meaningful. When we stand in the presence of the Lord, when we have the fear of the Lord, then our worship becomes powerful. Amen. Because our worship does not depend on how good you can sing, how well you can put up the performance, whatever it is. But it is the fear of the Lord. When you have the fear of the Lord, when you stand, even though it's a simple song, because you sing in awe of the Lord, wow, it's powerful. But sometimes, I don't know about you, I'm a musician too, and I'm also, I can sing a little bit. I get very distracted when the musician play a wrong note or something, you know. I get very distracted and sometimes I can't sing. But God spoke to me many times. Your worship does not depend on the musicians. Your worship depends on how much you fear God and revere God. Thirdly, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. "Only the fear the Lord, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your hearts, for consider what great things He has done for you." It is all about our motivation in serving God. We all can serve God. Praise God with the UMC. I love the semangat. I love the spirit of the UMC members. We all there. We all want to serve God. Amen. During the pandemic, I saw that. I see everyone want to serve God despite of the limitations. Praise God. But what makes different in our serving is when you have the fear of the Lord. That is the fear of the Lord. Well, is your motivation in serving God. It makes a lot of difference. Amen. It is not because you do not have anything to do. Because you fear God. Therefore you serve Him. And finally, Psalms 112 verse 1. "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandment." It is a blessing. It is about a blessing. The word delights, from the Hebrew understanding, is that it's from the Hebrew words chafet. It means to take pleasure, to love and desire. Chafet is used to describe the attitude of a person who fully understands the great blessing that can be theirs when they read the word of God. Wow.
when we have the fear of the Lord in our hearts, when we read the Word of God, when we serve God, when we worship God, it makes a lot of difference in us. Let's bow our head together. Father, we want to thank you and bless you, God. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us today that it is the fear of the Lord is the key to the great treasure that you have in store for us. Thank you, God, for challenging us tonight. How much we have the fear of the Lord in our personal life, in our homes, in our families, in our cell group, in our CG, in our church. Is that the fear of the Lord is the motivations behind serving, worshiping, doing what we are called to do? Father, bring us back. Tonight you have reminded us about the key to all this is the fear of the Lord. Lord, we want to reclaim back this heritage that our forefathers have taught us. We want to bring back this heritage in our homes, in our lives. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Today may be your first time hearing this. I would like to extend an invitation to you, for those of you watching online as well. If you have not given your life to Jesus, if you have not accepted Him as your personal Savior, maybe today is the day that the Lord has done for you. Could you please just, for those of you in auditorium, you can just raise your hand. And for those of you online, you can just raise your hand. For those of you who wants to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you can pray after me. Lord Jesus, I have sinned against you. You have died for me. You have died for my sin. Thank you for forgiving me. I now accept you in my life as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, today you may be challenged, you may be encouraged to bring back, to reclaim our heritage. It is to fear God. And you want to say, yes, I've not feared you, Lord, enough in my life. And those of you who want to rededicate your life and you want to say tonight, yes, Lord, I want to come back to you. I want to, God, put back the fear of the Lord in my life so that my life will be meaningful in my worship, in my serving, in my career. If that's so, you can just raise your hand and from here I will pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I want to pray for those who have responded in their hearts. Wherever they are seated right now, even those at home, I pray in Jesus' name that you restore the fear of the Lord in their hearts. You restore, God, the fear of the Lord in their homes and family. you restore, God, the fear of the Lord in their community. Because without the fear of the Lord, we can't obey God. Because without the fear of the Lord, we can't even love God. We maybe say in our mouth, I love you, Lord. But without the fear of the Lord. Father, I want to thank you and want to bless you, God. I want to bless your people here, God, in Jesus' name. For the English congregation, I release your blessing over them right now in Jesus' name. The pastors, the elders, and the ministers, and all the people that's serving you behind the scene of God, I bless them in Jesus' name. That may the fear of the Lord be the motivations of us serving you, Jesus. We thank you and we bless you. Give you all the glory. Give you all the honor. In Jesus' name. May I invite all of you to stand on your feet. I would like to invite you afterwards, after the closing prayer, you may come forward. For those of you who want to be prayed for, pastors and elders here will be praying for you. Can you just raise your hands and receive the benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine His face towards you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns His countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace that surpasses all human understanding will rule, reign in your hearts and your life. In the name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Amen.